Okay, the format tonight will be quite simple. Each one of our speakers will speak for about 15 minutes. If they dare to go over, we're allowed to throw tomatoes and rotten onions and anything else. I would like us to move into a quiet place if we could. And I would like to share this reading with you. I think it's important for this evening's dialogue. I think it's important for all that we're involved in these days. Our deepest hope, our most tender prayer, is that we learn to listen. May we listen to one another in openness and mercy. May we listen to our own hearts in love and forgiveness. May we listen to God in quietness and awe. And in this listening, which is boundless in its beauty, may we find the wisdom to cooperate with a healing spirit, a divine spirit, who beckons us into peace and community and creativity. We do not ask for a perfect world, but we ask for a better world. We ask for deep listening. And so, Pat Tassone, we'll listen with you.
Do I have to use this? Do I have to stand?
Whatever you feel comfortable doing.
Interesting. I'm Pat Tassone. I have been in Olympia since I was a kid. I was brought here. And I've basically spent the last 20 years of my life fighting ordinances like this that was just passed last week. And originally when we scheduled this forum, we were hoping the city council wouldn't have passed it and they would have gone along with their other plans like in the past, which is they raise the issues in October, November, and they don't have a hearing until the spring or something, but they really pulled a fast one on us with this one. And so I was just going to talk a bit about the history of Olympia and these ordinances and not so much about my involvement. And I do talk a lot, so cut me off whenever you want. I have been also involved in other community development projects such as Cop Watch, Works in Progress, Thurston County Tenants Union, Coalition for Low-Income Power, and Tulip Cooperative Credit Union. And so I bring those credentials as well for whatever it's worth. Like the first thing I wanted to say about the ordinances is, and the recent one, it's just another incarnation of people in power essentially trying to keep things in the shallow end, and that it doesn't really stimulate real deep thought or deep discussion on societal problems. They want to keep it really hyper-localized and keep it focused on a couple things, because that's what they've been successful with. But I know like people are smarter than that. I talk to people every day, and and once they're given the space to have some sort of social analysis, they do have it. Like in my job at the tenants union, you know, we talk about things and how the structure of owning property sucks, basically, and they can make the connections to their bosses and to political things as well. So, and I think that scares the people in power, basically. And I think the council with this, with their attitude, is they know this. They know that it's a deeper issue than what's just happening locally, but they're basically knowingly despondent. They don't want to talk about it because they know they don't have any answers and they think people are looking for answers from them, which is not true. What we're doing is just looking for some sort of leadership to solve society's problems, and they're ill-equipped to provide that. And I think also in the history of these ordinances, the local businesses have been basically knowingly desperate not to have a big discussion on it. And part of that is because they're not, you know, small businesses have it hard just like everybody else in the world. And they feel, though, that they have a certain level of entitlement and they don't want that to be discussed too much, basically. And, you know, like, just as an example of that, this is a social-wide problem is every city in the nation has some economic development mandate. Every city's like, we need more business, we need to stimulate economy, you know, rather than really discussing the fact that maybe the economy stimulated as much as it can be, and maybe something else needs to be done. So when these ordinances come up, again, they try to focus on some sort of local solution, but it's really not a solution at all. It's just an activity in lieu of a solution. And again, it's to keep us from really talking about the bigger pictures of things. In the late 70s, early 80s is when the Olympia City Commission, which is what it was known as at that time, after we recovered from the period of corruption from the 1920s, where the state came in and told the city council, among other ones, that we're disbanding your city council because you're corrupt, and instituting a new process, which was a city commission that lasted up until the 70s. That body in the 70s allowed the Capitol Mall to go in. Before that, that area was all woods, basically. And so all the, before that, in Olympia, the place to shop was downtown. That's where JCPenney's was, that's where Montgomery Ward's was, it's where, you know, the retailers were. And then all the stores in the 80s left and went up to the Capitol Mall. And so when I was growing up on the streets of Olympia, that's where all the fun was, because there was nothing going on. Basically, you know, we could ride our skateboards, ride our bikes downtown, and nothing was really competing with that. And other things have happened to other downtowns, but pretty much similar to Olympia, with the sort of sprawl mentality. Tom Waters' downtown was paved under with the making of I-5. Downtown was right in front of the brewery of Tom Waters, which is now under the freeway. Lacey never really had a downtown, except for maybe by Lacey Downs, which was a racetrack over by a horse racetrack on Carpenter Road, pretty much. So again, just like every other city in the nation, people are scrambling to create a downtown or revive their downtown, revitalize their downtown. And there's whole discussions we can have about discrimination and gentrification in this city as well as other cities around the nation. But in the trying to focus on solving not solving a problem, but actually just trying to create some activity towards a solution in the appearance of a solution, what the city has done at the downtown businesses' behest is to target disenfranchised people. In the late 80s, early 90s, the first ordinances passed were against youth in 1986. It was they banned skateboarding downtown. Downtown was defined differently back then, though, based on the activity. And usually, these days, even cops don't even know where the boundaries are of what, because the ordinance was limited to a certain area, which I would say most people don't hang out in anymore at all, actually. And then they banned cruising. You can't, you know, be in your car cruising. And then they outlawed teen dances downtown. And then no loud car stereos. And so, with that, at that time it was about 1990, 1991, and then the downtown businesses had started to turn around. Little shops were springing up downtown. Certain landlords were buying up things, renovating them, getting rid of the affordable housing downtown and turning them into different sort of warehouses or storefronts and things like that. And at this time, too, that is when the Downtown Business Association first formally formed. And so, although they had been involved in this attack on the youth, basically, with these ordinances, and there was little to no resistance to those ordinances because disenfranchised youth, they don't vote. You know, what are they going to go talk to the city council? You know, and only after they had done that for 5 years were they starting to really piss off the parents of these youth, that those parents started getting more involved. So they decided to shift the focus onto homeless people. And it wasn't just because that it wasn't just that, but society was also changing, and I think Rob's going to talk about this too, is like in the late 80s, homelessness was becoming much more prevalent because of policies of our federal government and even our state government. And so they were much more visible. Also during this time, 1991, the same year that the ODA formed, the Downtown Business Association, Bread and Roses expanded their operations and opened a soup kitchen, a complimentary kitchen, downtown to feed the needs of the people. And that place rocked. And I was there during the earthquake, so it did rock.
It even rocked without the earthquake.
Was that?
Even rocked without the earthquake.
Yeah, exactly. And so the chronology of when they shifted was also that there, like, homelessness was much more visible. Homelessness has existed in this country since before this country existed. And there's all kinds of tensions between property, the propertied and the unproperty. But I just raise that because I think it's interesting. It's an interesting sort of chronology to show what was changing when they changed their policies of attacking the youth versus attacking homeless people. So then they passed the aggressive panhandling ordinance in 1992. And 10 years later, when they brought up ordinances, they had given away 5 tickets in those 10 years for aggressive panhandling. 3 of them were to the same guy. And so, again, it looks like they're doing something, but they're not really doing anything to solve problems. Also, during this time, Olympia still remains one of the safest communities in the nation. 18 months ago, we were the 2nd safest in the nation. You know, we are still the most dangerous downtown in Thurston County, but really, we're the only downtown in Thurston County. But again, they don't talk about that. They just focus on these buzzwords and this allusion to doing something as a solution. So with the aggressive panhandling ordinance is when I started getting more involved in things after seeing ordinances passed against my friends. And me and one other person went and testified against it at that time. And then they started doing other things as the ODA. You know, apparently business is so good downtown that they have spare time to try to figure out how to get legislation passed and all that kind of stuff. And so they started, like, just proposing all these other ordinances. And every time up until now, whenever the community became involved, those ordinances didn't pass. So we had 10 years of struggle where we stopped ordinances being passed. And it started with a low-income housing project by Sylvester Park where the downtown businesses wanted to, their slogan was Save Sylvester Park, actually, which is funny because, like, in the 1950s, the downtown businesses wanted to pave it and make it a parking lot. And so that went down, and that low-income housing project exists today. But it wasn't without the fight, and the city eventually gave a grant to it, actually, I think, too. But and then in 1996, I think it was, they tried to pass a whole gauntlet of ordinances, including no sitting on the sidewalk, no fortified wine, no camping. I think there was a couple others. And again, those went down because of public agitation. In 2000, they proposed, again, the same schedule of in November, and then they have hearings in April on it, they organized, no car camping, no camping, no sitting. It was like a whole litany of stuff that we had seen before. And the way they tried to diffuse it, the powers that be, is they created these forums to talk on. And so they had these town hall meetings. It was the second one that the city of Olympia had ever done on homeless issues, and 300 people turned out and overwhelmingly said, we don't want ordinances, what we want is, like, practical solutions. Like, if you think it's bad that people are peeing on the streets in downtown, give them a bathroom. You know, don't give them a ticket for peeing if there's nothing else to do. And so, And so during this time, the ODA, the businesses, it used to be like conspicuous businesses would be the spokespeople for these ordinances and against the homeless. And over time, they've withdrawn more and more behind the veil of just the association of the Downtown Business Association. And they have the gall now to say, like, they don't want to speak out because they're afraid of retaliation. And from a consumer standpoint, retaliation is actually a consumer right. It's a decision. Like, I don't want to shop at Walmart, you know. Am I retaliating against them? Yeah, sure. You know. So when the public gets involved and confronts these ordinances, they generally have stopped up until now. But during this time, the ODA not only kept, the members of the ODA kept hiding behind their veil, but they also consolidated their power. And two of the city council members right now are ex-presidents of the Downtown Business Association. They're the ones that proposed and seconded this ordinance and got it passed through really quickly. I've been told I'm out of time. And so I'll just say, I think it's good that we have this sort of community turnout for this. We need to fight this ordinances through whatever means we have, referendums, other agitations, litigation, and that this ordinance is a legacy. It was drafted specifically in response to why these other ordinances around the country have gone down, like no sitting on the sidewalk ordinances. So then they redraft the same sort of thing with a couple caveats to try to make it constitutionally proof against lawsuits, basically. Who knows if it's going to work? But in the meantime, like generations of homeless people and people in poverty and youth, you know, get disenfranchised and lose their rights and are attacked by this because, you know, maybe in 10 years a lawsuit will reverse it. But, you know, in the meantime, poverty still exists. We need to still do something about it. So, thanks.